Welcome to VMN, Volume 3, Episode 27. The date is December 26, 2023. VMN is produced and transmitted from unceded Abenaki territory, so-called Vermont. This episode is a discussion with Olivia Taylor, a local activist organizer in Burlington, Vermont. Olivia helped coordinate the citation of local anti-trans bigot Bill Oichen for his incessant and seemingly obsessive transphobic sticker campaign. The producers of VMN are anti-carceral, but we feel that this is an important story to tell. And it's funny. Olivia will be helping illuminate the long history of transphobia in the city of Burlington, Vermont, and hopefully will illuminate this long and sordid history, much of which has remained in the dark for years. Welcome, Olivia.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So can you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into the activist scene?
Yeah, so I went to UVM, class of 2015, originally from Connecticut. So moved up here, and I think, like many, fell in love with a lot of aspects of Vermont. And I started to get involved in policy and politics, and I studied environmental science and environmental policy, so have always been an environmentalist. After college, I discovered and let the people around me know that I was bi and queer, and I tried to get more involved in different groups. And generally, I've always been an activist around the environment and people. And I think, like many of us in 2016, I got really scared for the state of queer people everywhere. So I think that's when I became a lot more aware of microaggressions and just bigotry generally. But I moved out to the New North End in 2019, and I started to see these stickers around probably right after the pandemic is when I started to notice them. But I'll wait to get into that unless you want me to go ahead.
It's fine.
Okay. Yeah. So I started to see the stickers around, probably started actively cleaning them like the summer of 2022, and talked with some other community members and everyone else who had been seeing them, including Emma Mulvaney-Stanek. And we made these new stickers that were the trans flag with like "you belong, we love you" kind of things, messages on it, and started putting those stickers up over these transphobic stickers. We then learned that was not super helpful to get rid of the stickers, and unfortunately the stickers that had these transphobic messages are kind of like for postal like stickers, so they stick really hard onto the signs. For me, this battle started when I just was walking my roommate's dog and would see these stickers in the Walgreens on North Ave parking lot, and I got really frustrated and started scraping them off. And then as I kind of connected with other community members, we started meeting with the city and a bunch of people to try to figure out what can we actually do about this. I think one of the first things we did when we knew who it was, because it's kind of just well known, everyone really knows that it's Bill and a bunch of other people who are very open about it. I contacted the Community Justice Center, and we tried to have some form of a circle, some form of a restorative conversation, and that was declined. Not surprisingly, but I do think it is important that, especially being anti-carceral on your podcast, and I think generally just understanding that there are a lot of other ways to get people to listen to you and to kind of discuss the harm that has been done. I do want to mention that we have tried many different ways. So following the system that he values that he respects was kind of the last resort. And I think unfortunately, when people do value the legal system, the penal system, like if that's what they're going to respond to, then I think that is an option that we have. So
I first met Bill around 2012, 2013, and at that point he was in cop watch. He was very anti-police, anti-courts, and he was actually quite respectful of trans people. When do you think how do you say he changed that he respects criminal justice and the likes? Because it seems like somewhere a change happened.
I mean, I don't know too much of his history besides the part that I've been aware of, but when I met with the city, one of those meetings included Chief Murad, and Chief Murad mentioned that he had gone over to Bill's house in a friendly way to just chat with him and see if he would stop putting the stickers up. And he, according to Murad, he stopped stickering for like a few weeks. And so he thought that that was helpful. So from that conversation, I gathered that he has some form of respectful relationship with the police. And that was informative to me, but also frustrating. And I think because that showed me that they knew, everyone knows who he is, everyone knows who's doing it. But we had lawyers in this meeting, we had police officers, we had representatives, and generally the conversation was if he has not responded or had any interest in having these conversations with us voluntarily, then the route that we can go down is actually enforce this graffiti order. But in order to do that, we needed to have proof that it was him doing, actually putting the stickers up, not just someone saying that it was. So it kind of became this search for evidence because we already sort of knew, we know his schedule. I kind of learned his route because I guess I started organizing a community walk every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. I would just meet people at the bagel or at Ethan Allen Park, and we'd just go for a walk. And I had sticker cleaning stuff, and so for at least a year, I was doing weekly cleanups in all the weather, walking around trying to figure out where they were. So I really got to know where his sticking spots were. And I did become kind of friendly with the person in charge of the street signs in Burlington. And I learned a lot about how much this actually causes harm to our street signs and actually costs the taxpayers money because they have to replace the street signs more often. And I thought that was a really interesting possible way for us to go as well, to think maybe there's a way the city can bill him for the cost of street signs and how they've been injured. I think we also recognized that whatever we did was going to be appealed and he was going to get a lawyer involved. So whatever we did with him, we wanted to make sure was strong. I think that we know the power that, or the desire, the passion he has behind this pet project. So we knew that whatever we did was going to be something that needed to be strong evidence.
Can you say a little bit about the lawyer he has retained?
Yes, I think of this. I know this lawyer because there's been a lot of TERFs, trans-exclusive radical feminists, who love to talk about how being trans doesn't make you a woman, and she is kind of part of that core group. That's how I know her. She is kind of like a Sydney Powell of Vermont, but she is someone who I think is going the free speech route, but also is yeah, she's very involved in the group of feminists that do not believe tr being trans is real at all. And I guess to go back to the conversations that I have with community members over this last summer, I did kind of big cleaning days on like Saturdays and had a bunch of people come join me. And I've had so many different community members come out and talk to me, whether they knew about the stickers or not, or they have a trans kid and they were worried about this. And generally, the community is so welcoming and loving and wants these stickers to be gone. And I think when I kind of started going into cleaning all the time, I was getting really sad and upset and angry. And it was really helpful to bring the community in and learn that everyone feel the majority of people in our community feel like these are harmful and really want it to be gone. So I think that was really encouraging for me, was to see other people scraping things off, to see people like learning. A lot of people maybe hadn't seen the stickers or didn't necessarily know how they were harmful. So I got to have those conversations with a lot of people. And I think when I think about being an ally for my trans siblings, like that is what you need to be doing. You need to be educating, you need to be creating a safer world. And like being an empathetic, kind person. And I was like, I have time. I have the ability to do this. And I also have safety in walking out there and organizing and doing these things because I am a white, straight passing woman and I need to use that for something. So I think some of it was really just feeling so frustrated and angry, but also wanting this community and wanting people to know how, like, how we can all do things together. And so it did lead to, I helped write a resolution with Councillor Joe McGee on condemning the transphobia in our city. And I met with pretty much all the city councillors, and they were all very supportive of that. So we did that. Bill and a bunch of his friends called in or showed up and spoke during public testimony of that, and said some really transphobic stuff. I think that was in October or March of last year. And I think it was really frustrating, but it was very helpful for the city councilors to actually hear that transphobia, because I think it showed them really how open they are about it in our community. And I think that kind of got it a lot of attention in a positive way. And kind of after that, they started raising money on like a GoFundMe for more stickers, and that got shut down pretty quickly. And I know that they have been sending stickers to different people around the state, so I don't know where other stickers have gone, but I've been using, I guess the most important thing too is if anyone sees a sticker, you can put it on C-Click Fix, which is the city's like way of monitoring where things are, but they are starting to track where these stickers are showing up. A lot of us were really upset seeing so many stickers outside schools and outside playgrounds, and it felt like he was targeting children and children who are confused and questioning and growing and vulnerable to feeling terrible.
You know that Bill used to be a teacher. He taught, I believe, he was a substitute teacher, and I believe he ca taught at Hunt Middle School. He apparently lost his job due to some of his behavior. I'm not sure exactly the full details of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure the full details either, but I was told that he was a substitute in the Burlington School District, which is really concerning, but I'm glad that he isn't anymore. And the superintendent of the Burlington School District had one of the best responses to the stickers and sent out an email to everyone about how he was concerned and he wanted to make sure that these were cleaned off before students saw them. And that is a good and helpful thing, despite that he was in the school system. But yeah, so he has gone on. Josh Slocum has a podcast, and he has tried to raise money for the stickers as well. Some of the stickers have like QR codes to very disturbing imagery and things, which also is just concerning no matter what for anyone to be surprised by a disturbing image.
As a as an InfoSec person, I would warn any do not scan QR codes and go to them, because one of there's one thing to have a disturbing image, and there's another thing to have spyware on these sites, and that's one of the vectors that bad actors use to infect phones. So do not, if you don't know how to protect yourself, do not use those. If you must see what they are, download the Tor browser for your phone and turn it on the safest setting, and then use that to open it. And if your phone automatically opens QR links, just don't. Just don't, because danger ahead. Not just having hurt feelings, but it could be something terrible.
Yes, definitely a good reminder. Definitely never scan a QR code that's a sticker on anything as well. But I guess so during one of my cleaning walks, a community member who is a photographer, videographer in their spare time, went for a walk with me and mentioned, "Hey, I've actually filmed Bill putting up stickers." And I was like, "No way." That's exactly what we need to kind of cause some consequence to his actions, and one that he would actually respect or understand. So this individual had three separate videos of him stickering, and we sent those to Karen Paul, city council president, and she sent them to the police, and they immediately gave him three tickets. And each ticket comes with a $400 fine. And he has appealed the decision as we expected. And I fully plan to attend whatever hearing or event happens with that to ensure that at least I know what's going on. And if I have the ability to talk about what I've seen and what I've experienced, I would be happy to do that.
Do you have the court papers? Because there's a project in Vermont called VT Leaks, which has been ca cataloging documents about this case. If you have those documents, I'm sure that VT Leaks would be very happy to post the court documents, anything you might have.
I was reached out to by someone who did a records request and let me know that they have done that and was asking if I wanted my name removed or anything. And they know who I am. They know I'm the sticker cleaner. They've said that I'm the one who cleans stickers. I say it on the news at City Council. So I am not ashamed or scared of being open about causing this. So, yeah, so I do know those are out there somewhere because there have been some records requests, and I saw a picture of the tickets too. So they're nothing like unique or different. I think it'll be interesting to see kind of what his argument is when I think his argument is around, he actually did an interview with his lawyer on the podcast that Josh has, and they talked about free speech basically being their counter.
Yeah, there was a case in Newport, Vermont, I believe in 2011 or 2012, where three members of Occupy Newport did chalk messages on the sidewalk of in Newport, and they were similarly ticketed. I believe that will be the case that they will be using to as precedent.
But yes, I think that makes sense that they're going to use that. They, which is really why we focused on this is a graffiti issue, like the amount of stickers that he has put up and the harm he's caused to public spaces. I guess we're not even going kind of the route of what is on the stickers is bad. It's just the fact that he is putting stickers up and that's not good. And I think they're going to argue that other people do that too. And they do, but they didn't get caught. So.
One thing I have to ask you that, you've mentioned his lawyer and you've not mentioned her name. Is there a reason for that? It's very public who she is.
Oh, no reason. I her. Yeah, I don't know what, I guess what you have said or what is important to know about her. Her name's Sandy. yeah, no, she's
Sandy Baird. So, so,
yes,
so.
Sandy Baird. Yeah, I think her name is known in a lot of circles, and it's not at all a surprise that she's his lawyer.
How do you actually, because people will come at you as a horrible censor and an anti-free speech person, how do you counter this? Personally, I see attacks on minorities as being on a spectrum of genocide. You start with slurs, marginal legal. We're in the United States, we're up to legal marginalization, and then finally, you get rid of the group, you kill them off. How do you approach that?
I think for me, I have spent a long time trying to, even though I have experience in restorative justice practices from work that I've done in the past and fully believe that there's a lot of ways to address harm. And for me, we've tried to engage him in these ways, and we've tried to have community conversations, we've tried to have discussions, and this is not something that he feels bad about. It's not something that he wants to address the harm. So I think for me, this is not about free speech. This is about being a community member, being a neighbor, and actively creating a space where people feel unsafe on purpose and not feeling bad about it. And for me, that's if you aren't going to have the conversation or the desire to fix the harm, then this is the next step. I don't really see it as a free speech issue. He can say everything he wants to say, but if you are consistently putting up stickers in playgrounds and by schools and on walking routes and being sneaky about it, you know that there's a you're doing harm, or the goal is to do harm to your neighbors. And I think we can disagree and we can dislike our neighbors, but we shouldn't be actively harming them.
Have the stickers that he was using were they were taken from the post office. Have you spoken to postal authorities about can you take these to for purposes other than postal stuff? Not that I'm recommending you do that, but I'm just asking
Well, I think
if you
so. I think
had.
he has the print at home Avery stickers. So I think they're used for sending postage or packages, but he is printing them out at home and using the and just sticking them up. So they come on like a sheet that you just print out, and I think unfortunately he's not, if he's buying these, he might be buying them from like Staples or online somewhere. And I did reach out to Avery, the company of labels, to see if they would respond. They have not responded, but I'm also not very big on social media, so maybe if I were and could pressure them more in that setting, I don't know what they would do, but maybe say something nice about trans people. But it is Avery Labels that is just like the print at home kind of stuff.
I'm an anti-fascist. One of the things I do a lot is try to make trouble for fascists. And in the so-called sticker war, it's not just Bill Oeychen. There's a group called Patriot Front. The Patriot Front is split off from Vanguard America. And in Charlottesville, the person who ran down Heather Heyer and injured 30 plus other people, some with life-changing injuries, was marching, either a member or marching with Vanguard America. Have you approached, I would very much like to see the people in Patriot Front face consequences for their stuff.
I agree, and I think this is a good way to kind of go into that. I haven't seen as many in the New North End, but I do see Patriot Front stickers, and I have seen their graffiti in different places as well. It's more sporadic from what I've seen. There isn't a route that is walked or consistent, and I think that was very helpful for us to have to know where the hot spots were. I think that's very likely something we could address. I would love to see fewer hate messages around our city, most definitely. And I think there was a big Patriot Front like drawing thing by the waterfront a few weeks ago, but I know a bunch of people organized and cleaned it up pretty quickly. So
Yeah, that was it was impressive about how quickly people responded to that. In the public records request regarding Bill Oeychen and his name, Bill has called the police. I mean, this former cop block person who was cop watch and hated the police in 2011 because they shot at someone at Occupy. He's ca apparently called the police a number of times about packages being suspicious packages being delivered to his house. Do you have any thoughts on this?
no, I have not heard of that, and I mean, I know a lot of people who dislike him, but no one who would ever send anything, nothing that I know about. I'm sure he's quite I'm sure he's just very anxious about everything. Even in one of the videos where we have him putting up the sticker, he's very nervously looking around. A cop drives by and he like hides the sticker, and then when they go by, he then looks around again and puts the sticker up. So he knows that what he is doing is not good, and it's clear that he knows he could get in trouble for it. And now that he has, he's going to try to argue First Amendment, but that is not the problem. The problem is that you are continually defacing public property and making a harmful space for kids, for families. I talked to a community member whose trans kid didn't feel safe coming home for the holidays last year because of these stickers. There are people who are experiencing real harm because of this, and I think that whatever we can do to remind our community that we are a safe and inclusive space for trans people, or we want to be, and then we need to actually act like it.
Have you seen the articles about Bill where he talks about him carrying a gun? A number of the people around Bill have expressed that they would carry weapons, or that they would like it if a trans person got a gun shoved in their face. There's a community member who's not, it's not publicly known, but he posted on Peggy Lures's Facebook years ago about how, so, you know, the next he says something, oh, trans kids get bullied, but you know, it would be great if a trans woman or one of these anti-fascists got their gun put in their face by a lesbian who carries a sidearm, or something to that extent. And Bill carries is carries a, has expressed that he carries a gun all the time.
Yes, I've been told he openly carries and he's very, very open about it. So I do caution anyone when I am doing sticker cleanup, that you should not you shouldn't interact with him. If anything, film what he's doing, but don't interact with him. He's an unsafe person. And when I did go out with a group of people, we split into two groups and did sticker cleaning, and one of the groups did run into him, and people got a little anxious, but there was no negative interaction, luckily. And I think, yeah, I think he's a dangerous person, and I would suggest never sticker cleaning or doing any of these things alone. I generally go out with someone else, and I think it is just a good plan to not engage with these transphobes and to ignore them if you can from a distance. Otherwise, yeah, I think just going in a group is always the safer option, because I have also been told that he is open about carrying and is a scary person. And I think I have learned kind of what time he does things, and I was very open about when I did sticker cleaning, and he never showed up. So I think he doesn't like really early in the morning, is what I've gathered.
I've seen him walking his dog about 9:30 or 10 in Letty Park. I was taking care, doing security for a soccer match, and he came by, and I don't know why he reacted that way to me. He scowled at me. Back in the day, before he became so transphobic, we were actually Facebook friends. And I don't know if he actually remembers me, but he was like, "Oh, man." And then stomped off into the Letty Park woods.
Yeah, and he usually goes through the woods. He lives near the kind of the 127 exit by Letty. So he goes near that woods where the church is, through Letty Park. He'll go around, sometimes down to Hunt, sometimes down to the corner where Plattsburgh Ave is. And he usually, lately, when he stickers, it's between like 12 and 3. You can pretty reliably see him walking around. Yeah, he's predictable, which makes it easy to keep an eye on and send to others and kind of let people know, hey, this is generally the route. And I think actually he did change his route when I started cleaning a bunch, and it became less and less in my neighborhood, and I had to walk further away and go to different places to start cleaning more. And I felt like that was a really comforting thing. If I can try to, that I at least pushed him a bit out of my neighborhood.
Do you have any tips on removing these kind of stickers without damaging the surfaces?
Yeah. So WD-40 is amazing. You just want to make sure that you are not spraying it back into your eyes. I have glasses, but I also bring protective glasses for people to wear when they're walking with me. But yeah, just you can have like a scraper, anything sharp, and WD-40, and you can spray it and it'll kind of soak through and get the gunk off, and you can just scrape it right off. I've heard vinegar also works really well, but WD-40 is generally great. Just have a little packet of that, a little sprayer and something sharp, and you'll be able to do it. But like I said, hopefully we are tracking where he's putting them. So if you put it on C-Click Fix, you can put it on as graffiti, and we have all of the stickers and locations that he has put things up. So that helps me too. If you are ever somewhere where you don't have WD-40 or something to scrape, and you put it on C-Click Fix, I usually check that a few times a week and drive to the places where they were reported and make sure that they're not there.
One thing I have to warn people is in the past, neo-Nazis have put razor blades under stickers and under flyers. So do not use your fingernails to remove stickers. It's very dangerous to do that.
Yeah.
Because
We haven't seen that with him, but and I think luckily they're thin enough that you would be able to tell, but generally I wear gloves or use something sharp myself to scrape it, and I think that's always a good practice. Also, just so you don't get all the gross stuff in your nails too.
yeah, it's just years past, and if that type of
Yeah.
stuff that's in the ether, so it's something
Right.
you have to think about when removing stickers. Don't just
Yeah, always
act.
safer to not use your hand directly.
Do you know what court is his case has been filed in?
So I think it's a municipal or civil violation. So I'm not entirely sure. I'm not very well versed in the legal system. So I know that there will be a hearing at some point, and a supportive friend is keeping an eye on that, and that person and I are going to try to make sure that we are there.
I've been checking the Chittenden County court schedule, and he's not shown up, so it must be a different schedule for it. Because
Yeah, I think because he appealed it, they have to schedule something. But yeah, he owes them $1,200, and he's gonna argue against it, but I don't think that's gonna work out very well.
Yes. Can you have were you able to unearth any more history about how this transphobia, what I understand is these men that were around Peggy Lures became the core
Yes.
of this transphobic group. I know Bill was very close to Peggy.
Yeah.
Christopher Aaron Felker, it was, which is very strange because Peggy was left wing, but her hatred of and her resentment of trans people led her to have an alliance with Felker, who's an extreme right winger.
Yes.
And Sandy Baird was close to Peggy. I debated her on Channel 17 a while back on these free speech issues. It was a pretty unpleasant exchange. But one thing in researching that, I noticed in 1999, one of the people from the ISE, the social ecology people, chided her about. She wanted to make alliances with the right wing on certain issues. And that was 1999. That's 24 years ago.
Yeah.
So this what I call red brown politics, where left wingers will work with far right on issues. Unfortunately, that happened in Occupy, where Ron Paul people came in. And this seems to be red brown politics, because Sandy is a leftist, but she's working with far right people on these issues. What is your feeling about all this?
Yeah, my understanding is that there's a large group of right-wing gay cis men who believe that trans folk are threatening to being gay. So instead of being gay, people are choosing to be trans to which is threatening then the validity of being gay. I think that's their rough argument. Whether or not they believe that is unknown to me. But they think that it's the whole piece of the pie. If they get rights, then we lose rights, and we can't all have rights and be happy. So it's feeling threatened by inclusivity, and to me is just another example of far right being incredibly hypocritical, because you also had to fight for rights if you were a gay man. You just are so privileged now that you don't remember it, or you don't care to. I think a lot of it too is misunderstanding, just like, or it's just a lack of empathy. Because whenever I talk to someone who maybe doesn't understand how trans folk very well, I just say, hey, if a kid or someone is able to live their life authentically, they're like significantly less likely to commit suicide. And to me, that's all that matters. I don't like, you don't need to know or understand how someone is trans if you just care about people's lives and you care about people living and not being depressed or dying by suicide. And to me, that's the bare minimum, is just want others to not even be happy, but just want to live. I think for some reason they are seeing it, or they have been told by right-wing media that it is all this, that it's mutilating children, or that it's like taking away parents' rights or something. And I think whether or not they believe those things, the core message that they are sending is that they don't care if kids live or die. They would rather have control over them. And that is just really scary and sad to me, because to me, I think all we should want for kids is that they're able to live authentically and that they don't want to die.
Yeah, this idea that one of Peggy Lourz's big thing was that trans people were replacing lesbians. And if you look way back in right-wing history, there's a theory called the Great Replacement Theory. What the Great Replacement Theory is an anti-Semitic theory that Jews are bringing in blacks and immigrants to replace white people, because the immigrants will vote for Democrats and they'll turn this place into a communist thing. So basically, the argument that that trans people are replacing gay people or is great. It's taking this anti-Semitic conspiracy theory and giving it a new paint job. A lot of 19th century anti-Semitic conspiracy theories get painted to have different victims, not just Jewish people. Okay, it's trans people. They control the media. They're powerful. You can't say that. And it's just the poison of, when we have to look at this, it's the poison of the anti-Semitic myths that get weaponized against whatever the scapegoat of the day is. And it's very important to understand this. One thing Americans don't do is they don't look at history. They think what happened yesterday is the most important thing. I have a saying that, in the Indian subcontinent, they're still angry about stuff that happened 3,000 years ago. In Europe, they're still mad at what happened 1,000 years ago. In America, they can't remember what happened three days ago. So there has to be a balance, and you can't argue that a certain incident didn't have it does it didn't have a history, and the ground that created the incident didn't it just happened. It's like what's happening in Gaza. That didn't happen October 7th. This whole mess has been brewing for 70, 80, 100 years. It's not, you can't argue it started with the horrible massacre by Hamas. This is a history.
Americans have very short-term memory, definitely, especially when it comes to history. And I think that, yeah, I think whether or not they believe it is what I'm wondering, or if it's just the tactic they use that it's a replacement theory. But it's either way, it's horrible, and it definitely has. It does feel like that kind of conspiracy group, the far right group, is making people scared of trans people in Burlington, especially, and trying to say that if we spend the time or money or anything on queer people, specifically trans folk, we're not going to, like, we are not able to do that with anyone else, or that they're going to take away all of the opportunities that people have been given. And I think it's just if they do believe it, it's a unfounded fear, that it comes from a lack of education. But if they don't believe it, which I'm kind of more inclined to believe, they're just angry and they want someone to be angry at.
Scapegoats. Yep. One of the saddest thing I've seen when I research this is Christopher Aaron Falker, who's the party chair of the Burlington Republicans, posting stuff from Alliance Defending Freedom. And I've also seen him begging people to protect gay marriage. And I don't know if he is, how he can, he doesn't understand that the ADF is one of the major forces that fought against gay marriage and that still wants to eliminate gay marriage. It's very puzzling that he would do that.
Yeah, it's either you are ignorant and stupid, or you are manipulative and excusing them for something they've done. And your new enemy is so much scarier that you have to get support. But I'm always very confused by their whole group. And it's a big group that I've noticed in the New North End show up in different ways. And it's just far right gay men in Burlington, in the Burlington area, that are really threatened by anyone who's different than them, which I just think is a very hypocritical and sad way to live. And my general, what I've been looking at all of this, obviously, Christopher Aaron Falker comes up a lot, and he shows up a lot too at different events and different things that he is at. I was on the steering committee for wards 7 and 8, and 4 and 7, and the member of our group is a trans person, and they were misgendered and used the wrong pronouns multiple times. So they quit, and I quit in solidarity. And this person had a lot of support around not having to use the correct pronouns for someone and making this person feel unsafe. And that was really frustrating. The city did not support that, but the fact that there are community members who think that their language is so fragile that it's important to make other people feel sad and unwelcome and hurt. There's a lot more transphobia, unfortunately, than I think I thought or hoped for in Vermont. And I think it's important to remind people that we aren't in this bubble. We aren't in a magical, beautiful place of Vermont, and we need to be recognizing and fighting against transphobia and a lot of things. And we can't just be passive and be like, well, I'm in Vermont, it's fine, people are welcoming. I think a lot of my experience with the stickers and with this NPA and with so many different things has been just showing people that we also have issues to work on. And I think, I mean, I think since the Battery Park movement, I think Burlingtonians have really been pushing for everyone in Burlington to recognize all of the issues that we need to address.
Thank you. This has really been a wonderful discussion with you, and I hope you don't mind that there was a little bit of back and forth, because that's how I tend to interview people.
No, I appreciate it. I learned, I always learn more when I'm talking to people about this, and I think I really appreciate all the connections that I've made doing this and learning how many other people care and how many people want to make sure that we are ridding our community of transphobes and people who are shitty. And I think we all deserve to have neighbors that aren't shitty to us.
Thank you so much. And is there anything you want to plug? A social media account, an organization you like to work with?
Good question. I would just say generally, if you live in Burlington, do a lot of research for the mayoral election and city council election. Local politics matters more than you might think. And if you don't want transphobes and having power in our city, then that's a direct way to have power. So voting and getting involved in any local board or NPA or anything, it won't take too much time. And if you are a white cisgender person like me, you probably kind of owe it to your community to be serving in some way.
Excellent. And at that, if you like this podcast, please consider sharing and liking it on your social media. Reviews help drive the algorithms that basically run the internet world. So please, if you have the time to leave a review on your podcast aggregator, do so. Reviews on Apple and Google help a lot. So if you are willing to deal with those companies, and only if you are willing to deal with those companies, leave reviews. Otherwise, tell your friends about the podcast. This was VMN Volume 3, Episode 27. VMN was formerly known as Vermont Movement News and can be found on podcast apps as Vermont Movement News. Thank you.